How you guys doing?
Okay, I think.
Good, I hope. Yeah. Mike, you want to kick us off? Any updates over the weekend there?
Well, I spent a lot of time trying to get through stuff that were the training sessions, and I've come up with a – oh, heck, now I've lost my note. I had a specific question I was going to ask.
Okay.
I had sent you an email, and I haven't seen a reply. You may have sent me one. I just haven't found it.
Yeah, there's nothing that's unread or unreplied to that I know of in the coaching email. I can double-check when we're done here, but –
Well, it's I sent it on the 21st, and we have kind of been looking for a reply, but it's possible it got by me, so I'll do that before I bother you.
Tell you what, if it's if we missed it for some reason, which it's possible, right? I'm not saying that that we're perfect on this then, but forward it again back over so that it's new in the inbox.
Okay, I'll
so,
do that.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hal, you want to jump in?
Oh, shit. I don't have much to say, really, except trying to get caught up from this general contractor. I keep finding things that he really screwed up. And I am getting forward, but I'm trying to make some time to get this other part off the ground. You know, I got people that want to do the leads for me. And I've just been, actually, I took 2 days off. I was so frustrated, went up to Virginia Beach, sat on the
good.
Beach for a day.
And, yeah,
I did find a good book that if anybody ever, you know, thinking of giving up, which I wasn't, but it's kind of a religious book, but the name of it's Never Give Up. You're Stronger Than You Think. And boy, it's got a lot of good things in there about life, you know. Got to work through your problems, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm just not where I want to be, that's all.
Yeah, I like that title. Cool.
Anyway, I don't really have much. John Mason, and I think he is a minister. I didn't know it. I found it in the when I was getting on the plane, but it's just got a lot of good things about, you know, what you're taught in sales. I mean, you can't give up ever. I've been in sales all my life, and you've got to work through your problems, you know, because a lot of times you about get there and you want to give up. And not that I want to give up, but I was frustrated last week.
Yeah.
But that's just part of it, you know. I know it's part of it.
Part of the grind, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can count on it. I try and bring that up on orientation calls, but anytime you you point your life in a certain direction, say I'm going that way, expect things to jump in the way. It's just the way it is.
Yeah,
so
it is.
It's just what
happens. But it was kind of, you know, sometimes, I mean, I know all that stuff personally. I've read it over the years and read it. But sometimes it's good to just get a little refreshing.
Absolutely.
Know? Especially when
you've
had a hard week.
Zig Ziglar, before he passed it, well, I mean, he said this quote years ago, but I won't get it right. But he said basically that motivating yourself is like bathing. He recommends it daily with just that idea that, you know, you don't read a good book 10 years ago and it just lights you up for the next decade. He just he said like taking a shower and getting clean, you know, on a regular basis. That's where motivation needs to be too. So
I agree with that.
Yep, good stuff. Well, yeah, man, I'm glad you took a little time away. That's part of it, too.
I can't wait that long.
Reset the energy a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, good stuff. That's necessary. We all reset different, but here's the thing, you guys, too, is whoever's on, you got to build some of that in. You got to plan some of that, whether it's, you know, go for a walk or a run or the gym or fly fit, you know, I kind of lean to fly fishing and golf a little bit. Those are the two that, you know, I kind of helped me reset. So whatever it is, you know, Hal went to the beach, which is perfect. Darren goes to Croatia and, that's necessary. Plan on some of that stuff. You know, the other thing too, is, you know, based on where you're at in the business, you've got to set up some, you know, first deal under contract. I'm going to celebrate with this. You know, first time you get to the closing table, I'm going to do this. You know, as the business grows, obviously those are going to change, but come up with some cool things that say, you know, I put X amount in the whatever, and I'm going to go buy a new truck or a car. Or, you know, build that stuff in. You know, keep something out in front of you. Nobody, you know, as entrepreneurs, nobody's going to dangle the carrot in front of us for you. So you've got to be conscious of that too. Put some of that stuff in there. But yeah, definitely goals to go reach, ways to celebrate them, and time to recharge necessary.
Yeah, and I'll take it. I'll tell you what, if you wait too long, it can screw you up. If you wait too long before you recharge.
It can. You know? Yeah, it's easy to get burnt out.
That's true. Yeah.
Easy to get burnt out. So, yeah, you know how you said you didn't have much to say, but that's a critical piece. So, appreciate you sharing.
Yeah.
Very critical. Who else is on? Oh, I know somebody's on there.
Darren's here.
Mr. Croatia. I even made a joke about how you recharge in Croatia.
I do. Once every 45 years, I recharge in Croatia.
That's right.
The most critical recharge.
I go to Croatia.
Yeah.
Hey, man, on your 90th birthday, you've got something to look forward to. That's true.
I'm going back at 50, though. I already told everybody to start saving up their kunas. We're going back.
That's right. Man, it was that cool, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard it's that cool.
And then it's surprising, it wasn't surprising. It was kind of ironic that once we got there, we started seeing these different things pop up. Different articles and different things on Facebook and whatnot, that Croatia is like the new hotspot European destination for Beyonce and blah, blah, blah. So it's...
That's crazy.
I know why, though, because it is crazy. There.
Well, it's been a European hotspot for a long time. Maybe it's just making its way to Hollywood now, but...
Yeah.
There was one of the contractors that we worked with all the time back in 2008, 9, and 10 was from Croatia.
Yeah.
Moved over to the States. So we talked to him about it quite a bit. He said it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
they're usually pretty passionate about where they're from too. Like people from Greece, Italians, Croatian, Ukrainians, all those guys, they talk about their hometown, and they're pretty passionate about where they're from.
It's funny, side story, but this guy would, they'd go back to visit family, and they'd take two extra duffel bags and fill them full of Levi's. They'd go over to Kohl's or Target or wherever and buy them. And they had a little family store over there, you know, $25 to $30 a pair here, $150 a pair in Croatia for Levi's. So they would, they'd take a couple extra suitcases and pay for the trip.
That's awesome.
Which is kind of crazy. Or at least pay for a portion of the trip, you know?
Yeah.
So, buy low, sell high. You can do it with you can do it with real estate, and you can do it with pants.
You do anything, actually.
Yep. What's the update?
Lots going on. I went to the office today. I usually try to make it to the office a couple hours a day, and the guys know I'm going to get there, and give them a couple hours, you know, of my time while I'm there. And they're working on websites today. They got properties that we've got under contract popping up on the websites. And Sawyer's got two more deals that are going to be nearly under contract. So that'll make number five for him.
That's sweet.
This has only been a week and a half for my sales guy, for my dispositions guy. So he's still building his network. We're trying to get some of these houses that are under contract assigned. And so we had a couple issues today. I bought a URL from GoDaddy. We've been trying to forward the URL to FreedomSoft so that when it shows up, it doesn't show that crazy name.
Yeah, so you're not going to forward the URL. You're going to point the A record.
I tried that too. We're getting a lot of errors in GoDaddy when we're trying to change. Like I took the URL from FreedomSoft at the top from the homepage,
uh-huh.
and I went to GoDaddy and I tried to enter that into the HTTP.
Yeah, the only thing you need is the A record number. So Darren, shoot me a
gotcha.
Note over to support@FreedomSoft.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'll give you some instructions on it because all you have to do is point the A record at GoDaddy. That's it.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have you undo everything that you did.
Yep.
And just point the A record. So.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
And so when I tried to put the new ID in the A record, it gave me an error when I tried to save it and said that it wasn't found. But then if I added a new A record, then it would take the IP address. Very strange.
Yeah.
But okay.
If we have to, we'll do a screen share so I can see your into your GoDaddy account. But we'll get it figured out.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So they're making really good progress. I guess a couple of questions that the guys had though was, if we have two separate websites, one for Cleveland and one for Pittsburgh, and we want a property to show up on one website but not the other, can
yep.
we do that? Can we direct the property to which one we
yeah.
want the property on?
Yeah, so a couple things. You can either have two different websites, one for Pittsburgh, or you can have a brand that goes anywhere. And so on your website, you could do, you know, DarrenMancuso.com/Pittsburgh, DarrenMancuso.com/Cleveland, and send
yep.
them there. But what you can do on the websites is you'll build a list or a I'm having a brain cramp.
A group?
What do we call it in there? Golly. Like a list of properties that's for sale. Yeah. You build that separately, and then so you'll build two different property lists, one for Cleveland, one for Pittsburgh. So those live separately. And you can just
yes.
edit them, add a property, remove a property. And then
yeah.
when you actually go to your buyer's page for Pittsburgh, you add
mm-hmm.
an element, you add that list, you select your Pittsburgh list, and whatever you take, put on, or remove from the list will automatically show up lifetime on the website.
Got it.
Linked.
So we'll create a Pittsburgh list.
I think it's called a list. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll have a Pittsburgh property list and a Cleveland property list, and then just select that list. When you add an element, list is one of your options. So you'll build the list first, and then you can just go into that list, edit it, add a property, start to
right.
type in the address. It'll recognize it from your properties in FreedomSoft, select it, and
mm-hmm.
it'll throw it on there. So,
okay.
Yep, that's how that works.
That's what we're working towards. So I'll send you a
cool.
couple questions in the email, and we can get the details hammered out. And then there's one other thing. I was expecting that when a buyer went to the page for the first time, it would ask him to opt in and type in all the information and what he's looking for, et cetera, et cetera. And then it'll let
yep.
him see the properties that we have in the list. But
right.
I think what's happening is even if we return a second and third and fourth time, it keeps on asking us to opt in every time versus like just going right to the – is there a reason
yeah,
for that?
It should cookie – the IP address and just take you to the properties on the second and third time. So send
okay.
that, do me a favor, send that in that same email. I'll have Steve look into it. Cause if you're in test mode or something, it's going to, if you're
right.
actually live,
we want to see that. Yep. So we can test
right.
it every time and not have it go away. I got it.
Right. Yeah. So I'll have to ask Steve what that is, but yeah, just remind me about it and we can look into it. So,
okay.
But, yeah, it should be if somebody clears their cash or clears their cookies or all that kind of stuff, they're going to have to re-opt in. But as long
sure.
as it remembers them, it should take you right to the properties.
Got it.
So, hey, Darren, so I want to you've got deals under contract, a new dispositions guy.
Yep.
So you've got to go full speed ahead helping get those sold so that sales guy gets the check, dispositions guy, you know, maybe you just give them the check, even if you helped.
Right.
I'm not how you work that however you want to, but
sure.
That first payday will seal the deal on these guys. So I know you have
a
couple under and a couple more coming. It's not drop everything else, but that's got to be major priority because you get, I mean, this Sawyer guy's tying up deals for you. You get him rewarded well, and he'll take it out of the park. I want to add this too. I was asking Rob end of last week because I know he has multiple sales guys. Here's how they're running it. Not every salesperson is making offers. He has Chris is the main guy. He has two or three setters, so they're working a two-part close. So he has two or three people pounding the numbers, getting the seller ready for the offer. Then they pass it off to Chris. Chris has a little more knowledge on the areas, how to run the numbers, that kind of thing. Chris gets on the phone with the seller and cleans it up and says, here's what we can pay, gets the paperwork going. So it doesn't have to be every salesperson for themselves. You can start, maybe that's what Sawyer becomes is, he's kind of the closer. And then you say, hey, man, look, we're just going to go into multiple markets. You're going to need some help. You know the system. You know how to make the offer. I want you to stay doing that. Recruit a couple people that you know who can call through the numbers, get the sellers on the phone. We'll teach them the script. They'll set them up. If you're right there, they can just put them on hold, transfer them over,
right.
Hand them the phone, whatever the case. But that's how
sure.
he's doing it. So then Rob and Brad, they go to one guy with the training on offer price, what they can sell, neighborhoods, zip codes, all that stuff. They don't have to teach it to four. They don't have to teach it to four different people. They just let Chris drive. So
yeah, I mean Sawyer picked it up so fast though that I did that for the first two couple offers that we made, and he's dialing it in quick, and most of the properties that he's getting, the sellers are like, hey, how about $3,000? How about I just need $5,000 for this house or whatever. So like. There's not a whole lot of thought process that's going into the offer.
If they're going to come in that low and just speak first, fire it up. But he's going to get he's going to get in a situation where somebody's going to say, send me your offer. What's the best you can pay? And so,
that's
cool.
He's good at it though. So I'm letting him run the numbers and come to me with what he thinks. And I look at it for a few minutes and go, let it rip. And then, I've been actually the one that's going into Dot Loop, though, because these guys don't have accounts there, and I go in and create the offer and then send it to the seller. But, that takes time, too. You think, create an offer and send it out, but that takes, could take 15, 20, 30 minutes to do. And
yeah, because you're on a – I want to clarify, because Darren's licensed where he's at, so it depends. If you're putting a contract together in FreedomSoft and it's a one-pager – it'll take you about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But when he works in his own backyard, he's got to put it on the – what's your state contract, about 14 pages or so?
It's like six.
Oh, that's pretty short, actually. I think the Colorado one's 11 or 12.
There's a two-page disclosure, and then there's a lead-based paint, and then there's a property disclosure, and then there's
that's the thing. On a one-pager between – When you're in a state where you're not licensed, this will be a 5 minute, one page contract. The one in the coaching center, fill it out quick, and submit it to them. So that process will totally change.
Yeah, eventually
it'll just get easier.
Eventually, I do want those guys writing the offers right from FreedomSoft, and I want them to just fill in the information right into FreedomSoft, and then create the contract, and then send it out.
Yep.
We just haven't got that far. It's like one little piece at a time, then bolt on something, then do another piece, then bolt that on, and then so.
Yep. Well, you've got them on the right. I mean, here's at the end of the day, if they hand it off and you log in either yourself for now or have an assistant put a contract together, under your REMAX umbrella, that's fine because just get them back on the next phone call. So.
Sorry, my three-year-old just joined us. Oh, she's four now. Don't let me make that mistake.
Birthday party.
everyone in Denver.
Hi.
All over the country, actually.
Yeah, all over the country. Love it.
I'll be right out, okay? She gets home from wherever, daycare or out with mom playing. And hey, you see I'm on the telephone? You don't do that, okay? Make
a now,
choice.
Now
she
picture
gets
that
home
with
right while I'm in the middle of the call, so it's hard for her because she comes home and she's excited. She wants to play.
Want
to
see daddy.
And I'm like, okay, just another hour and I'll be there.
That's right.
So, you found a penny? Well, that's a quarter, number one. Number two, if you can save a lot of those, then he can show you where to invest that.
Right. Daddy will put it to work for you.
I'm going to go on mute for right now until I can take
care
of this. And then
I'll
ask questions later if I can get back on, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Who else? Questions and or updates?
Hey, Rob, this is Mike.
Hey, it's Mike, but you can call me Rob. What's up?
Sorry, I was thinking about Rob because I was talking to him earlier, Rob Kropbauer.
Yeah, no worries.
I just talked to him before the call.
Nice.
Good. Yeah, just letting you know, my bird dog did get her iPhone, and so we did a couple test ones yesterday, and they worked pretty good,
yep.
Actually 2 days ago. And then she
perfect.
Went out and got 50 more leads and sent them into FreedomSoft. So the attachment thing is working. So
sweet.
Just crazy that has to be that way. But I have those in there now, and then hopefully I'll have somebody off of Upwork tomorrow go through them all and finish skip tracing everything.
Beautiful. Are you going to get the skip tracing software and log them in, or you're hiring a VA with access to tools?
I'm open to anything. I mean, I'm guessing I can get somebody I just did a search today, so I thought if I could pick somebody out tonight, hopefully, I don't know how fast they can start, but I was hoping maybe they could start tomorrow.
Yeah, one of the things Rob likes to do is he'll put it out there with some urgency and say, I've got 50 leads ready to go. If you can jump on and get through them, you know, in the next 24 hours, I'll award the job immediately. So that way, when they're reading that posting, puts a little urgency under it instead of just saying, you know, put it off another day, 2 days, 3 days. Next thing you know, a week's gone by.
Okay.
So, you know, he'll say, replay. If you can start and grab these in the next 24 hours, reply, you know, tell me what your experience level is. If you're looking for somebody that has tools, include that and just tell them I'll award the job. So.
Okay.
One method
right.
to just kind of, you know, try and compress the time. Because it's one of those skills that, you know, obviously thousands of people across the world can help you with. So it's not, you know, it's not a very specific set of tasks, really.
Right, and I just did a search
just
for skip tracing, and there was a bunch that pulled up, and they said LexisNexis, TLO.
Yep. That's the thing,
so
Rob.
I'm just reading the reviews.
Yeah, so Rob pays for Intellius and then just gets a VA that knows how to do internet research and trains them, and that works. And, you know, we've had students on here hire somebody that has access to tools that knows how to skip trace, and that works. So I don't know that I have a preference one way or the other.
I mean, if they have them, I'd pay extra if they have it, and if they don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. You usually pay a little bit more per hour, but then you're not paying for a subscription to one of the sites. So
mm-hmm.
whatever you can find, yep, both ways can work.
Cool.
Both ways. And then your son's going to be jumping on the phone, right, Mike? When
yeah.
those come
yep.
back? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, it's magic when somebody gets on the phone. I shouldn't say it's magic. It's just the system. When somebody gets on the phone consistently, you know, it can take a little time. They're going to dial some numbers, but you get somebody that, you know, that's committed to 4 to 5 hours a day, more if they have it. But then people start calling back. They try them again. They get a hold of them. Persistence starts to pay off. And, you know, you heard Darren, his sales guy has been around for a couple weeks now, and I think they have five or so under contract, you know, already starting to, you know, hire a dispositions guy. And he just, I'm pretty sure, he can tell us when he signs back in here, but I'm pretty sure he just grabbed another sales application and put him on the disposition side of things.
Yeah, that's what I did.
If I remember right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, and how many do you, how many are you guys working right now from Sawyer? Is five the number?
We have three officially under contract, and he, while I was sitting there today this afternoon, he's got two more motivated people that he was on the phone for an hour each,
okay.
So I know they're a good deal.
Yeah, this is how it starts to go. I mean, you know, I was chatting with Rob the other day. They're closing like 3 to 5 a week. That number will start to ramp up. You know, they've been really pushing on this, you know, getting some things dialed in here over the last couple months, but you know, they've had some bigger weeks than that. That one day, I think they had 12 transactions that one day. But they start running at 3 to 5 a week, and that, you know, that number will start to go up. They'll add a market. They'll add another setter for Chris. But that, you know, I was talking to him about how the conversation lately has been. It's not as far as it feels like from where you're at to 3 to 10, you know, 3, 4, 5 closings a month, and then that many a week. It seems like maybe that's, you know, 100 miles away, but it's not, especially when you start to get either you're on the phone full-time and committed to it, or you get somebody on the phone that's full-time and committed to it, because the leads are there. The money's in the leads, right? So it's just a matter of mining them out, but you know, and then it's so easy to scale because you just do more of the same thing, right? I mean, you know, the question of, okay, how do I double this? It's not real hard. Double the lead volume. If you have to go into another market or two more markets, great. But double the lead volume, put somebody else on the phone. You know, one dispositions person can handle typically multiple salespeople, right? Because the salespeople are going from a lot of leads to the handful of motivated. And then the dispositions person is just grabbing them at that step and saying, okay, you know, I've got two deals to sell. Now I've got five. You know, that's going to be a revolving door. So they can, you know, one dispositions person can handle the volume from multiple salespeople. But it's really, you know, this has been our conversation lately. It doesn't take a massive team. And it doesn't, you can go from, I mean, Darren, in a relatively short amount of time, you've gone from not being a wholesaler to three under contract and two more coming in a short amount of time. And you're still getting everybody trained up and on board.
Right.
I mean, when they're clicking, you're going to have 5 to 10 under contract all the time.
Right.
There's just going to be this rolling group of 10 deals under contract.
Yeah. Maybe more. I mean, honestly, if he could put two under contract a week, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So
and then, you know, two will sell a couple weeks down the road, and then you'll get two more and two will sell. But you see how it can go from, hey, I'm not really a wholesaler, I've never done this, to, oh wow, we've got some deals to move. And the team is still just figuring each other out, you know.
Yeah, the best part about it for me is when I show up to the office, things are cooking. Things are happening. Phone calls are being made.
Yeah.
Websites are being built.
How cool is that?
Connections are being made. And I just don't have that number of hours myself to do all that myself. So
yeah,
it's
cool.
The best, you just have to hire the right people. They have to be smart and they have to be motivated. And once you plug them into that seat and you tell them how to do it and what to do, and I think some of it, too, a lot of the motivation for these guys is they see the other stuff that I'm doing in my business. And they know that to learn that would cost them, you know, to get a coach for the year would cost them like $40,000 to get a coach to help them flip houses. So they're just motivated to come into the office every day because they can, like, ask me a couple of questions about buying a rental or, hey, you know, how do you do this or whatever. So they're getting a lot more benefit out of it.
Tell you what, you really want to put some glue on your team and build something sticky. You know, do that kind of stuff. Show them, hey, let's get this thing cooking, and then let's buy your first rental.
Sure.
And then let's buy your first flip. And then let's buy this, and then, you know, work
yeah.
here, knock it out in sales. Let's build your little portfolio.
And get you, yeah.
you know, it's fair for the company, even if you mark it up a little bit. Say, we'll just, you know, we'll mark it up. You know, we still got to feed the machine that's getting us all paid, but
right.
work out some kind of deal with them, and you can do some really cool stuff around
sure.
that to keep the team on board and motivated and everybody together. Because just like a, you know, just like a good musical group, you guys start to gel, and it just you know, you'll start ramping up volume. It'll be easy because everybody's just kind of clicking.
Yeah,
get a little synergy working. So,
yeah, these two guys that I hired too are just, I can tell already that they work really well together, and they're collaborating together. Even though one person's doing one job and one's doing the other,
neither of them get paid unless they both perform.
Yeah, yeah,
they need each other,
so
which is a cool place.
And they're
yeah
strategizing, and
I love it.
The other thing I could say too is I took Sawyer out in the field last Friday. Like, I let him work a half day at the
yeah.
office, and I said, "Hey, why don't you come out? I got to meet. I'm meeting a banker who's going to do a quick inspection so we can take a draw, and then we're going to go over here and do a walkthrough with my GC and get the project scope together on this house, and then we're going to do this and do that." So we had lunch together, and so he got a full half day of. You know, out in the field, and it really opened his eyes to all the stuff that we have going on, and I think it helped
yeah.
draw him in a little bit more.
Yeah. So here's the thing: if you're building a team and you're not currently flipping houses or that kind of thing, that doesn't mean you can't take a salesperson out to lunch or go do something fun. What do they like to do? Do they play golf? Do they hike? Do they fish? Whatever it is, you know, go do a little team. I mean, this is just team building 101 is, you know, connect with people. Because if they know, trust, and like you, they'll work harder for you. So,
yeah.
And you know,
it's
fun Darren
to do
just,
that stuff too, right?
Yeah. So Darren's got flips to take him to, and that's cool if you have them. I mean, Hal, you could do something like that really easy. If you don't, do something else. It's not, you know, it's not as much about what gets done. It's the fact that, you know, the two of you are out there, you're getting to know them, you care about them. What they're into, what makes them tick, that kind of thing. You know, it's a, you know, buy them lunch. It's an appreciation thing. It's crazy. Exit interviews. I mean, you've all heard this. I mean, what do people want? I mean, everybody goes to work to get paid or start the business, that kind of thing. But people just want to feel appreciated, right? I don't know if any of you have watched that Undercover Boss show. My wife and I really dig it. I mean, there's all this crap on TV, right? And then they take these CEOs and they put all this makeup on them so that they can go undercover in their own companies, meet people, hear about the stories, what's working, what's not working. Because if they knew the CEO walked in, everybody would put on, you know, a mask and try and be impressive. So, you know, they put on like three or four hours worth of makeup to put them in disguise, and they go around and, anyway, they, you know, people just at the end, they do these interviews and they're like, I feel so appreciated. I can't believe you said thank you. This is life changing, yada, yada, yada. And that, you know, just those little things. Say thanks, buy lunch, you know. I mean, Darren, this is for anybody, but you can put little, hey, team, you know, come in on a Monday, knock this out this week, and, you know, Friday night. Steak dinners on me, or you can just do little rolling. You know, it doesn't have to be crazy, extravagant.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to be steak dinner, but it's just something that says, you know, hey, Darren's got our back. And that's why I was saying, you know, especially now with where you're at, you know, the team's young and they're still, you know, they still haven't got paid yet. So you've really got to go to bat full time for as
right.
much time as you can and get those deals moved and get a couple checks in these guys' hands, because that'll really start to cement their position.
I was thinking, I was having a talk with him in the office the other day, and I just said, listen, I want to break the seal. I want to get this first deal done. And I told him I was going to throw a bonus maybe on the first one if they can get it closed. Not closed, but under contract by the end of the month. Even if it closes next month, that's fine. But I want to get it under contract right now.
Yep.
And signed. I don't know
yep.
if I don't know if I want to go down that path though, where I'm just, you know, handing out bonuses, or, you know, what's your thought?
Yeah, I mean,
that?
you you were pretty clear that you want to get this first one done. The thing about your sales personalities, though, keep those things in mind. Sales companies have spiffs, bonuses, vacations, all over the place. So, I obviously you have to play it at the scale where you're at and the kind of volume the business is doing. But as it grows, these are the salespeople, when you get the high D's and high I's, they're motivated by these things.
That's
so you're going to want to be thinking about what's the next carrot I can throw out there.
I like lunch and dinner. That sounds doable.
Yeah. You've got a pretty good basketball team there. Maybe, when the season starts up, you throw them some seats to that or just get whatever. Get creative. But when they start chugging, there's going to be some cash there to keep the salespeople happy. Ideally.
Right.
Because they're, reward the rainmakers. That's how it works. Obviously within reason, but.
All right, so here's a question aside from motivation. So we've got a couple of these properties. They're obviously boarded up. I don't think that the owners have been at them for a number of years, some of them. And so we're starting to get some buyers who are interested, and my sales guy's just saying, hey, do a drive-by, because honestly, he didn't say this, but we don't know how to get in yet. Like, we don't know. We don't know if we need to call the owner even, or if we, just tell these guys to go see if they can get in on their own, or...
Bring a hammer. Yeah, so you have to get it cleared with the seller. Say, hey, this thing's boarded up, right? We've got to get inside it so we can estimate it. You tell them what we typically do is bring a hammer and remove something. I'd be happy to put a lockbox on the place if the keys work. What are you most comfortable with? Because we have to get inside. We have to be able to get inside. So
right. From
there, you'll figure it out, and then what the owner allows. But, yeah, Rob, I mean, they've told people before, obviously you clear it with the seller, but bring a hammer. You're going through a back something. You're going to have to pry something open and then try and put it back.
And then they have to put it back, though. That's the thing I'm worried about is they go in, these buyers, and they rip it all apart, and then they don't put it back together. I'm slightly nervous about that, but.
Yep. Yeah, you got to figure something out. I mean, if you can go over, even if everything's boarded, if you can go get a lockbox on it because the keys still work, obviously that's plan A.
Sure.
Right? Plan B is, something off the street, usually around back, that they can open up a door or something like that. But, I mean, the houses are neglected. Somebody could go in and burn it down. They probably don't. There is a chance. If they beat it up, it's probably already beat up. You know what I mean? It's not, you're not sending them into a, or, you're not sending people to a brand new place. So, and this is where you can have somebody do a little window, do a little time block where your team goes and opens up the house, tell them from 2 to 3 on Wednesday, you've got to be there and have your dispositions guy. He's got to get every sale or every buyer possible to that house in that hour. And then
got it. Okay.
Your guy or gal can lock it back up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like the idea of possibly getting the keys, though. That is certainly the easiest.
That would be the easiest, yeah. Because boarded up doesn't mean the doors don't work. Yeah. Boarded up just means, right, the windows have obviously something over them, but typically doors will still function and hopefully locks will work. Yeah, this is where you may go buy a $6 lock set from your local big box store and just pay somebody to go throw it on real quick. That's another option. Hey, can I just throw on a quick temporary lock for you? Do you mind? If we don't end up moving it for whatever reason, we'll put the other one back on.
Two hands on the bat.
So. What other questions are out there?
Hey, Mike, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, so I got a gal.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do the disc test tonight.
Nice.
And see how that comes out and take it from there.
So you had a conversation with her?
Yes.
How'd that go? What's her background? Has she done phone sales?
No, she never has. No, she's 24.
Okay.
She
okay.
has a degree in communications, whatever
okay.
that means. So,
she's overqualified.
Anyway. Yeah, probably so, but I don't know what kind of job you get in communications with a degree, you know. So, anyway. So, anyway, yeah, I'd like to get her to get the disc
cool.
something up, and then I'd like to meet her and, you know, see where it goes from there.
Hey, here's the thing about this. And this can be true of anybody, but especially, you know, obviously don't discriminate for age when you're hiring somebody, right? But you get
right.
a young person, Mark, that's maybe out of college and made 10 to 16 bucks an hour, and you throw a couple 15 to 20% commissions at them on a $5,000 to $10,000 sale, their head will spin. It's like, holy cow, I had no idea I could make this kind of money. How do I find another one to close? And so, you know, not like I say, you can get talent all the way across the board, right? If a person's a good fit, bring them on. But you get somebody, and I should qualify this with you get somebody that's, you know, been working for 35, 40 years, and they come in and see how they can cash check you, the same thing can happen. But it seems to be a little more prevalent with somebody that's younger, and they just think, holy cow, I never knew I could make this kind of money selling anything. It can be a massive motivation piece. So,
right.
you know, you'll
yeah,
come
well,
across – you'll come across people who have sold big ticket items before, and it'll be expected. But you get a gal that's 24 and had a job, and then she moves into something like this and cashes that first check. It can be life changing from her perspective. So just throwing it out there.
Right. Well, you know, so. A little history with her is, you know, she moved out to San Diego with a boyfriend that thought he was going to be a golf pro out there. So
yeah,
so she. So she couldn't find a job, So she ended up working, you know, in
And he was broke because he didn't make it.
He was pretty much broke.
Because Jordan Spieth's quite a bit better than he is.
Yeah. Well, now he's gone to Phoenix to try it there. And so she
yep.
moved back here. Her family lives here. So
chasing
anyway.
The dream. Ah, that's
yeah.
a tough gig.
Yeah. Well, good to do
that's
when you're 24, I guess.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's like, so she's
cool.
never had, you know, a job that's paid, you know, anything really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That
so,
could be
right.
the advantage. You get a check in her hands off one of these closings, and, you know, it could be, she could say, hey, you know, this gig pays me too much to go anywhere. She could just be long-term and, you know, just start killing it for you, so. Yeah, let us know.
Well,
if
yeah, well, just like just
cool.
like you guys were talking with Darren and stuff, you know, as far as, you know, getting them into, you know, getting rentals for themselves and stuff, you know, that's
yep. it's a cool little perk.
Know. Oh yeah, yeah. The question I got is dispositions guy person. What
yep.
really is their responsibility? Are they the ones making the offers from the
nope.
from the salespeople?
No, sales. People are going to go to offer. They're either going to, you're going to train them on how to make the offer, or they're going to set them and bring them to you, and you're going to make the offer. The dispositions person takes properties under contract to the buyer's list. So their job
okay.
is to grow the buyer's list, know your buyers, meet them, start a relationship, find new ones. And that's the thing is, you know, I mean, there's, you know, turnover is a reality. That kind of thing. That's what I was telling Darren. He's been plugged in there in Cleveland for a while. He knows some buyers already, has some connections. So up front, right, he can help jumpstart that thing, you know, make the introduction and help that position grow. But, yeah, so sales side is leads to contract. Disposition side is contract to buyer.
Okay.
So they're taking
and how are
the buyer's
they,
list.
How are they compensated?
Rob pays them similar, about 10 to 20%
like
sliding
people?
Based
okay.
on based on what they tie up, yeah. So this is where the salespeople need the dispositions person or people, and the dispositions people, they don't have anything to sell, obviously, if the sales team isn't getting them under contract. So
right.
it creates this unique dynamic between them. That's what Darren said on his team already. Those two guys are having conversations because
No.
Either they both win or they both lose, but one doesn't win without the other. So.
Well, yeah. So your dispositions guy is probably your motivator for your sales guy, huh?
Yeah, and the other way around. I mean, the sales guy's right. Rooting on the dispositions person, saying,
right.
"Hey, man, I got you two more this week. You know, I put them on a tee. You hit them out of the park." So.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, you want to fill in wherever possible. Because that, you know, that's what I was telling Darren, is really, you know, focus on that. Do whatever he can to help. Because once these deals, you know, especially the first one, you get that thing closed, you get some paychecks out there, you know, the belief goes way up. That, you know, it's just fun to cash a nice check. They're going to get a big kick out of it. They're going to want to go do it again. So...
I'll tell you, when you get five under contract, that's when it starts getting exciting. You know, when you got five deals to put on your board to sell.
Right. Killer.
It's the, you know, even if one of them sells, like, these guys are going to be excited out of the five. I just want to keep putting them up on the board.
Absolutely. And you go right out to, you go out to the market. I mean, talk about meeting a new buyer. You know, you call a buyer out of the blue and they're wondering, is this person for real? Hey, we've got five you can look at today. How many do you need? Oh, no kidding. I've never heard of you, but you have five deals? Wow. Maybe I should have heard of you. So, you know, you
it just
can,
gives us a little credibility right away.
It does. Some street cred. If you have one, look to sell one. That's great. They went from zero to five pretty quick, which is great. I mean, you know, leverage them. Ideally, obviously, you sell all five. If you don't, find as many possible buyers as you can, leveraging these
from
deals. That's still a win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some marketing out there. I mean, you can be on Craigslist saying, I mean, you can just put the teaser. Don't put anything out there. Say, hey, we have five deals that need to go ASAP. If you're looking for bam, 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 here are the zip codes. Either hit our website or tell them to call. I mean, I'd have them call your dispositions person. Just let him go right to the phone call and start moving those. And then while he's on the call, he can grab their information, type it into FreedomSoft, but just bypass the website in case they don't do it. But just, you know, put his number in there.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I mean, you've got to be talking to – you've got to have marketing out there for buyers. You know, he's got to be on the phone with property managers, hard money lenders, calling title companies to say, you know, who are the people that are closing. You know, every possible way to find buyers in the meantime, because he's got a conversation right out of the gate.
Yeah. Well, you know, here locally, you probably know these guys, Home Trust, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they
seen the name.
They
I don't
do
know
it,
them, but seen the name.
Right. Right. But they do it to where if you're going to make an offer, you have to do it on their website.
Yeah, different operation. Mm. That's Jason, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason and Hope. Yeah, I know them. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, different place in the business, though. Established wholesaling in Denver for years, massive buyers list, and they just want it super automated. You know, Denver's a little bit different market, too. You don't have to, if you have a deal around here, you don't have to do much selling. So I don't know what these deals look like. That Darren has tied up, but you want the relationship with your dispositions person and the buyers. So that's how Rob always told me to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they have automated it. You can make an offer online and that kind of thing. That's great. Maybe you get there. You know, there's another technology piece, but you know, they're working with a lot of repeat buyers who know and trust them, and you know, Darren's just getting this moving. So, you know, build some credibility, get on the phone, have your dispositions person building relationships. And if you go to something a little more tech down the road, great. But for now, just nothing beats that phone call. Anything else, Mark?
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I don't know. That's about it. That's all I got.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what did you say the conversion rate was? Like 5% for, like, out of, like, if you have 100 leads, are you seeing like a 5% rate of getting something under contract?
Yeah, I'll ask Rob. These vacants are quite a bit higher than that. I mean, they're going to get a hold of, yeah, they're, you know, when they go through Intellius and that kind of thing, they're getting 40 to 60% on the phone. It kind of moves in waves a little bit, but mid-40s is pretty consistent where they'll have a good number. They're calling vacant leads. You know, Chris and the team are pretty decent as long as there's some motivation there. So I would say they're doing better than 5%. I'd be curious if Rob could throw me a number, though. I'll ask him.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering how many go under contract. Like, if you call 100 numbers, regardless of if you get a hold of, I mean, just the overall process from beginning to end. If you call 100 people, how many are getting under contract?
Yeah, I mean, you talk to 100, not just call 100 people, but you talk to 100 motivated seller or 100 vacant homeowners, you'll sell more than 5%.
Oh yeah.
With any kind of skill.
I figured that too, of the ones you talk to, but I'm saying overall of all the leads.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because some you never get a hold of them. Yeah, so that's what I was kind of wondering.
Yep. Yeah, Darren, how many, you have 500 contract, about how many do you think Sawyer's spoken to? How many sellers? Vacant house sellers, do you know?
We had 250 leads in one campaign, and he probably made it through about 200 of those. And then we had another group of 225, and I'm not sure really how many he's been through that. But I noticed that in this second group, he's been kind of hitting more. He's on the phone more and talking to people more.
Yeah.
So I, you know what, I think after we get through about 1,000 leads, maybe I might have some type of number, like what we, how many we talked to, how many we got under contract, and then how many we actually were able to assign. That's we haven't quite got there yet.
Cool. Yeah, I'll try and remember to ask Rob if he can throw a stat on that.
Okay, cool.
I do know that I'm paying $3 a lead though for my bird dog, and then I'm usually like around $1, unfortunately, on the skip tracing and the research and the, you know, sometimes I pay a little bit more because we've been re-skip tracing stuff that's already been re-skip traced, so I might be even up to $5 a lead now.
Right.
Because I'm paying again.
Can you imagine these leads though? If you were to buy these, and somebody was just doing the, you know, generating the leads and doing the skip tracing.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd pay, I would guess, $40 or more per lead.
Whoa.
I mean, these are great leads.
You'd pay $40 a lead. Wow. Well, that's
easily
what I'm paying for
25.
Zillow leads for motivated buyers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some work that goes in there. These are premium leads. And you're generating them for, you know, like you just said, $5 a lead on your own. Being in the leads business. Another spin off paydays, if you want to go that route. Just tee them up for people. He's sold a lot of leads over the years. He built a system a few years back called micro wholesaling that was all about just selling leads. So anyway, side topic. But yeah, the leads industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry a year. Obviously, selling, you can sell just about any kind of lead you want. So yeah, Mike, I'll have to ask him if he has any kind of percentage on that. I'd be curious, you know, how many. The stat that I'm really curious about is of the conversations you're having with a vacant homeowner, how many are they getting under contract? What percentage?
Yeah, those are exactly what I'm looking for, those type of stats. It kind of gives you something to work towards, right?
Yeah.
Talk about KPIs.
Let me see if he has any. Let's see here, sales stats. Making a little note to shoot him a message. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Because, yeah, then you can kind of put your team up against Chris and his. Because, you know, obviously they've, you know, Chris had, he had some background in real estate. I think I've told you a little bit on here. He's bought and sold a number of deals for himself. But so good on the phone, knows the business. Just couldn't really build anything consistent, but he's good on the phone. So, you know, now where he sits, obviously just closing deals that are being set for them. So good stuff. What
it's
else?
Funny, I've listened to Sawyer on the phone for like 3 weeks now, and from where he started to where he's at now is like, it's crazy. Just what, in 3 weeks?
Night and day, huh?
You can get to. He's like, it's hysterical listening to him actually on the phone, just listening to his, you know, what he says to these people. And
yeah. Wait to see where he's at in 3 months. I mean, he'll just keep getting better and more
super,
confident and
super
yeah.
excited.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm parenting at the same time here.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Kids are a beautiful thing, huh? Some of you are thinking other people's kids are a beautiful thing. Don't get them near me. Any other questions?
Mike, it's Mike Riley. I just want to tell you, I found your email replies. Thank you. You've answered the questions.
Yeah.
The one thing that about the number 250 sticks in my head because there's something about the number 250 and the place we go when we do the data mapping of the clusters.
Yep.
And I think that company used to have a free 250 that they'll produce a list of up to 250.
Oh, it is. Yeah, up to 250 is free, and then beyond that, you need the Batch Geo Pro account.
Yeah, $100 a month, I think it is for their
yep.
first lower tier commercial. But
you can map
Batch
Geo.
That's
well
my.
You can map as well on Google Maps or Google Maps. I know John was talking about that a few weeks ago. I've never done it. Excuse me. So you can just do a Google search on how to do that. But he was able to map out quite a few more for free just on Google Maps.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay. Well, thanks
anyway.
For that tip.
Yeah. Rob uses Batch Geo and just has the pro account. But, you know, if you don't want to pay the $100 for it now, just, you know, maybe add that in later or alternative. I mean, it's the internet, right? So, there's probably 10 different ways and 10 sites to do the same thing. You just have to look for it. But you should be able to find instructions on, if you Google search, you know, how to map multiple properties at the same time using Google Maps, something like that, I'm sure you can find some instructions out there, probably even a YouTube video on how to do it, I would imagine.
Okay.
Everybody's university, YouTube.com, right?
Sure.
Hey, we've been using it. My wife and I have little kids, and so we've been learning how to blow these gigantic bubbles. And all you do is look it up on YouTube. Here's how you make the setup, and you know we've blown some. I don't know, probably a couple over 30 feet long.
Whoa. Ooh.
Yeah. So, Darren, your 4-year-old would get a kick out of this.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I saw a guy at a fair. He
go to YouTube.
He was using, yeah. He had like two fishing poles.
Yep.
Like a big rope on it.
Yep.
And then
cotton rope
had loops.
Yep.
Yeah, cotton rope with loops on it. And then he would like dip it down into like a little flat frisbee.
Yep.
But is that what you built?
Yeah. So we don't have two fishing poles, but he blows a bubble in this video that's from here to Kansas. I mean, it's enormous. We've gotten. Yeah, we've had a couple on a good day, you know, good thick air here in the evening that they've probably grown to 25 or 30 feet, with just a little setup. Anyway.
Pretty cool.
We lost track. Yeah, your 4-year-old would dig it, I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
So, anyway, fun. But, yeah, Mike, jump on there. If you don't want to use Batch Geo to map that thing, you'll find, you know, I'm sure there's a tutorial online.
Okay, I'll work
if nothing
it at this point.
What's that?
No, I was going to say, at this point, I don't have a big enough list to worry about doing more than 250 leads, but maybe we'll get there quicker than I figured. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, if you buy the list, depending on what list you buy off ListSource, that'll be pretty good size for the absentee owners. Or see if a property manager will pull it for you. Property managers are licensed, so they have MLS access.
Yep.
So you can either pay for it on ListSource, or you can ask and see if somebody can figure out how to get the absentee owner list for you over the last 6 to 12 months and just export it. You may have to buy them a gift card to dinner or something like that, but it's worth asking.
Oh, sure.
How many they pull out of there. So depending on your market, there will be more than 250. There should be way more than 250 over the last 6 to 12 months.
Okay. Oh, that's great. And one other thing, I did broach the Freedom Soft stuff, in fact, after midnight last night. And the one thing that I came away curious about is, what is something called the autoplay function? Does that make any sense to you?
The autoplay function?
Yeah. I got some kind of a message on it as I was signing off of the program. And
I'm not sure.
It seemed like something that was that I should know about, but I have no clue what an autoplay function is.
Yeah, the only place I've ever heard that is around a video. If you go to a website, you can either, from the programming side of things, you can either have it automatically start playing, or you can make the visitor to the website push play to watch it. Outside of that, I don't even know what it means. So if you see it again, let me know.
Okay, that's probably what it is exactly, but I don't know how to make it work for me.
Yeah.
So,
Mike, if you, and this is for everybody, if you, I've said this before, but some of us like tech, some of us don't. Some people want to learn it, some don't care to. So if you don't, or, if it's a little bit like, hey, I don't, this is going to take me a long time to learn, I don't feel like learning it, have a VA do. We've had multiple FreedomSoft users just pay a VA. I mean, you'll pay them, some hours to learn how to use it, but then say, hey, I need you to figure out how to do this, this, and this, and then you can just do it for me. So that's always an option.
Hey, Mike, real quick, if you go into Upwork, you can do a search for FreedomSoft, and you'll see all the VAs that already have experience with it, too.
Check that out.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great tip.
Super
thanks.
Awesome.
Yep. I did a search for FreedomSoft and skip tracing, and it just narrowed the list down. I don't want to have to teach somebody how to do something if they've already done it, so.
Yeah, that makes bringing them on board and showing them around quite a bit easier if they're already familiar with what it looks like. So, nice. Pro tip.
Oh,
that's what we call that, pro tip.
Pro tip, okay. one of the things that I was curious about when I was looking for the VAs was that all of the rates I was seeing were in the $11 to $18 range. I didn't see any down in the less than 11, and I'm wondering, was I looking the wrong place? I can't believe I.
I'll tell you what you did wrong. You have it set to U.S. only, probably.
Yep.
You should see them at $3 to $6.
Well, because it was there, I have many of them were coming up from the Philippines, so I was getting those hits.
Oh, weird.
But,
that is weird. Yeah, I haven't seen those kind of dollars outside of the States. Or, that didn't come out right. I've only seen them inside the States.
Double check that, Mike.
It should be $4 to $6, maybe $4 to $7 range.
Okay. Yeah, because the lowest choice check is $11 and down, and that's what I had marked. And,
yeah, something's off. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the help.
Yep. What else?
Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, can you hear me? This is Esther.
I can hear you.
I had my girl. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I had my girl take the test, and she came out as a CS.
Do you think it's a wise thing for me?
Do you think it's a wise thing for me to have her make calls or no?
Nope. She's an accountant. She's a data manager. Could be a leads manager. More likely to need and want a steady paycheck. 1099 is a little too risky. Leads manager.
Okay.
Yeah, you can you can hire outside of what the DISC test says to do, but you'll just find yourself hiring somebody else in the near future.
Okay.
It's that accurate. Yep.
All right.
Great question, by the way.
Yeah. You know what was interesting is that she took the free test, and then I asked her to take the pay test just because I wanted to see if, you know, how they compared. And they're very identical.
Yeah, I was talking to Ben earlier today about you can do the free one. Here's the thing, the free one, because I've taken both. And if you guys have not taken a DISC test, take it. Right, if you're going to put somebody on your team through it, take it so you know. First of all, it'll give you some insight into how you think and confirm, you know, what you already know about yourself. But I find them interesting. So. If somebody is really honest on the free version, you'll get the same result. What the paid version does is it asks the same type of question multiple times, so it eliminates somebody missing an answer or not being true to themselves in an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll
that
ask...
That's interesting you say that, because she commented on that very statement you said about, you know, how they're so identical.
Yeah. So it'll say, you know, when you're on a team project, you like to be the person in charge. Strongly agree, somewhat agree, strongly disagree. And so it's looking for that dominant character trait. And so if it asks it one time, somebody could think, yeah, I like to be the person in charge, when they really don't mean it. And if that's how they answer on the free version, that's the result it'll print. So on the other one, it'll ask the same version of that question 10 different times, basically.
Yeah,
so,
and she made a comment on it. She says, you know, the questions they asked was, you know, sometimes it just didn't fit me. I was like in between. I wasn't either on either end. I was in between, but they didn't have any response for that. And so,
right. Yeah, you just have to pick the one that's closest. So, yeah, if you haven't done one, at least go do the free one.
Okay, yeah, I did.
Cool.
So that was interesting. So
how are you wired, Esther? Oh, what were you high in?
I'm an IS.
Yep. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, so you've got that high I in you. That makes sense. Not to say it's not to say that there aren't outliers, but it's really good at saying, here's what these people do. And then what you can do is the DISC will make a shape, right? And then you can go and research your shape, Esther, and it'll tell you, here's the kind of work that people with your profile typically like to do. Here's what you like to get out of life. Here's what you're into. I mean, I'm sure it was super accurate, right? Did you read about your profile after you took it?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Was it right on the money?
It was right there.
Yeah. I mean, assuming somebody answers honestly, they're spot on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be my advice. She could be a great lead manager, but she'll be really organized, methodical, probably want to know why things work, the how behind it. When you have a salesperson, you just want to say, here are your leads, here's your script, here's your pay scale, go make it happen, and that's all they need.
And so, therefore, how much do I pay a lead? How much do I compensate my lead manager?
Yeah, good question. You probably, at this point, you have some leads for a salesperson to call. So I would keep them in their current seat until that ramps up a little bit. But leads manager, that's going to be an hourly type position, X amount of hours per week, and it's really going to be based on how many leads, you know, does your salesperson need. But to get you out of that position, I mean, here's where it gets really cool. And Darren, he's right on the edge of this. So salesperson's on the phone getting deals tied up. Dispositions person is starting to meet the buyers, grow the buyers list, you know, to get these things sold. And then the next thing he wants to do is bring in somebody like a leads manager so that he can just teach them, you know, we're going to hire bird dogs, you're going to post an ad, you're going to train them to do this, you're going to set up FreedomSoft, and just let them kind of run that whole thing and make sure there are leads on the table. And, you know, somebody can probably do that for a couple hours a week, depending on how many leads you need. Obviously, if the sales team starts to grow and, you know, you start chugging through some leads, you'll have to switch that up. But then, you know, you could tell them, hey, we're going to go launch this market too, so I want you to set up Bird Dogs over here, same process. You could teach a leads manager direct mail if you wanted to add in some direct mail to your vacants, because that would be the next one that Rob adds, if anybody's curious. He's been sending direct mail for a long time, and that's something a leads manager could do, but it's probably not a full-time gig, especially up front. I mean, there's no way it is. So is your VA here, is this person local on your team, or are they out of the country?
No, they're in the U.S.
Okay. So, yeah, probably similar to whatever you're paying them now. I don't know what that is, but just to have them do some different tasks, manage some data coming in for you.
Who in the lead?
She's getting $3 a lead.
What's that?
She's getting $3 a lead.
Okay, somebody in the U.S., you're just doing it that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think, and that's one question I haven't asked Rob. They hired that college kid. He came on as an intern. Now he took over. He's running leads. Let me ask him what they're paying him. I'll just give you a benchmark because I know he's on an hourly now.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'll just I'll ask him, and then I can relay on Thursday.
Okay, I would greatly appreciate that.
Sure.
And
hey, question for you, Esther.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so you're working North Glen, right? You're here in Colorado too?
I'm in Colorado, yeah, but I'm not working in Colorado. I'm working in Ohio.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, I was thinking that's probably difficult, so I was just wondering how that was going.
Have somebody local in the VA in the States, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Right. No.
Esther, where in Ohio? Are you in Cleveland or Columbus?
Cleveland.
So you've got to get with Darren on deals. Do you have buyers out there? Have you met any buyers?
Not yet, but I'm going to be working on that next.
I'll
Darren
be your buyer.
Darren has five deals that need a buyer if he doesn't take it.
Okay.
Those deals are in another state, though, Mike.
What's that?
Those deals are in another state, but if she's got deals,
they're all in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd like to see the ones she has in Ohio because I might be interested in buying them.
I'll connect you guys.
Oh, okay. Okay, would appreciate that. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Yep. I'll look at them,
and
if they're a good buy and hold or flip or whatever, I'll look at it.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Let's communicate.
I'll send an email with both of you. Both you tied to it.
Hey, Mike, that reminds me. You were going to send me the email of who was flipping in Atlanta.
Hal. Hal, are you still on?
Hal.
I must have just forgot to do that.
Yeah, I'm still on.
Hal, what's your number?
My phone number?
Yeah.
Yeah, 303-328. 1903.
Mike, did you get that?
328-1902?
1903.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, send me your contact and I'll send it back.
Okay. That was easy. Yeah, Hal's got, 13 under construction out there? Is that right?
Yeah. Wish it was less right now.
You know what? It's been a painful change, but a good change. How is the new guy? Did you you were talking about you had two potential new GCs, giving them half each or giving everything to one. What did you go with?
Well, right now I just gave two or three properties to one of them.
Okay, and then you're doing the other ones?
Well, I'm doing a couple of them, but then I've got another guy I'm looking at, and one guy, he was just out of line. He was pretty good GC, I think, but I'm looking at another guy.
Gotcha.
So,
okay. So still working that all out.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Yep. All right. Well, good stuff, everybody. Any final questions here? Anything else?
I do have one quick question.
Yeah, fire.
Darren, who handles the closings and all the administrative work to go along with paperwork, you know, forwarding documents to the title company? I don't know.
Yeah, right now you do. Executive assistant / transaction coordinator in the future. So
could that person be my lead manager too? Because I could maybe hire somebody.
It totally could be. Part-time leads and part, yeah, because that person would be organized. They'd have to do a little hiring and training of bird dogs, but
that's
typically not a big deal. But yeah, it could be. Yep. And that's your C's and S's. That's your this is where you want to know. You don't have to be an expert on the DISC profile, but you should know a little bit about it, because you want to hire an accountant type for closings and transaction coordination that works off a checklist typically, dots all the I's, crosses all the T's, super organized, good with paperwork, good with you know, schedules. Here's the closing schedule, check on it daily, what needs to be done, are we ahead of things? Get everything over to keep that nice and smooth. So
C's and S's. Okay, I'm on it. That'll be my next move in a couple, maybe a month or so.
Yeah, get your sales team, obviously, and your dispositions guy, and then you're going to have to, you know, get somebody on board, teach them the system to feed that engine. And a little, you know, it's always the challenge in small businesses. You hire too soon and you have added expense when you don't need it. You hire too late and you're frantically scrambling trying to find somebody. So you're not going to be perfect at it. It's just part of, you know, it's part of growing. Growing is a challenge. How do you know when? Don't expect to, you know, get it right every time. Nobody does. But try and, you know, try and get that person in there. Obviously, if these five deals go under contract, you've got some transactions to coordinate. So
right.
Yeah, I would guess with your real estate office there, you could probably just plug somebody in from the team that's already moving transactions. I mean, you're plugged in as an agent, and they actually call, you know, people transaction coordinators in that line of work. So,
right.
I would think you'd tap into that resource pretty easy, but
I do. Yeah. I'm going to see what happens with these five deals, and I'm going to step in and do the work for right now. But then I want to teach somebody how to do the lead managing and get, I need an executive assistant for myself, because I've been sharing one with my wife. And so my wife's assistant's overloaded with my stuff. I'm not getting enough done. My wife's not getting enough done. And so I think we really need to, at some point here, we'll get our own assistant.
That person could be it too. I mean, Brad just brought his mom on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's got some background in it. And she's working on the team now. Just whatever, closings are a big part of it, but whatever he just needs, this has to be done, but I don't have a quick second to do it.
I don't have the time. Yeah. No.
So,
time.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
I think that's all the questions. I'll send you an email regarding that website stuff.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much.
Sounds good. Yep. Anything final here?
Great session tonight, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah,
thanks,
good stuff.
Mike.
Good. I'm happy to talk about whatever, but these conversations are going a lot of times to the higher level stuff, which is great. I mean, once you have leads in the door, this is the conversation. How do we start mining the money, pulling the money out of it, out of them? How do you get the team to grow? I mean, you can all see how easy this is to scale. Generate more leads, which you all know how to do. Put somebody else on the phone, which, you know, some of you have gone through finding that now, but it's, you know, it's not really rocket science. And then, you know, putting some of the team together. But it's, you know, I keep saying, you know, it doesn't take a massive team to do this, which is really cool. And you can ramp up some serious numbers. So, if you have if you want to, if you're so inclined, you know, everybody on here has different financial goals and what they want real estate to be and do, but you get a good salesperson on and a good dispositions person. You could either handle the closings or bring somebody in there and maybe to kick around some leads, and that small team right there can go to $100,000 a month and beyond if you wanted to. I mean, it's there. For a salesperson to just be pounding the phones and tying up a couple deals a day is kind of par for the course when you give them good leads. When you have a great buyer's list, your dispositions person will have a lot of luck moving those. Closings will start to get scheduled, and you know, that's what million-dollar income looks like. So it doesn't take, you don't need 20 people on the team to do it.
I'm super really excited. Don't. Everyone doesn't notice.
Yeah. Super just that's what, you know, that's the, I want that to be the theme lately, and we've kind of moved that way, but it's closer than it maybe feels. So, yep, keep plugging away. Chime in. When you have questions, ask them. And, yeah, great chat, everybody. Have a great couple days. I'm going to chime in from the mountains on Thursday. I'm going to be up in Winter Park at the ski area for a mountain bike event. So my plan is to just carve out some time, and I'll just be chilling up in the hills. Not quite Croatia, Darren, but, you know, mountains in Colorado are pretty cool.
Baby steps.
There's like really, really cool mountain bike event every year in Winter Park that we've been going to for 4 years. So it's a fun weekend. Anyway.
Nice. Hey,
yeah,
Mike, we'll be –
Yeah. What?
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Someone's going to say something?
We just chimed in there.
I was going to say that Kate and I are going to be in Colorado for a wedding in Lakewood. Is that August, hon?
Denver.
Oh, it's in Denver?
August 17th
for like four,
nice.
4 days. Yeah, my cousins live out there, and my aunt, my dad's
yeah.
sister, and someone's getting married.
Yeah, I'm going to a hitching. My wife and I went to a hitching on Saturday out here. It was incredible.
Nice.
We ended up in the hills, up in the mountains, and yeah, it's good stuff. Cool. Yeah, give us a heads up when you're here in town.
I will. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Yep. Have a good night, everybody. Make it a
thanks
good night.
Thanks.
Good night. Questions, obviously, let us know, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Thanks a bunch, Mike.